Let's begin reading today. We're going to focus on verses 4 through 7. Let's begin reading at verse number 1, though, 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Let's pray. Father, help us to see Your light. Help us to learn of Your way, and help us, Father, to know what we know of You, that we are assured in our salvation, and that we're committed to walk after You in Your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Apostle is credited with having written this letter in the next two that we're going to study. John's Gospel, the book of John, was written by the same John, and was written from the perspective of Jesus as Messiah to the world. When you read the book of John, you just see that John is declaring that Jesus is not only the Messiah of the Jews, but He's the Messiah of the whole world. John just opens the arms of Jesus for us and just includes us there and just wraps the arms of Christ all around us as he describes Jesus as the promised Messiah, the Messiah of the whole world. And this letter, written to believers, was written to strengthen our knowledge in and of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. In the first three verses, we looked at John's description of who Jesus is. Because John knew that faith really starts there, then and now. To you, who is Jesus? That's the question. And once every soul is able to agree with God as to who Jesus is and why He came and why He died, and why He was resurrected, and why He showed Himself to believers some 40 days, and why He ascended into glory, then salvation can be obtained, but not until then. The question for today that we're going to spend some time looking at, or the point of today's message, based on these next few verses of 1 John 1, is how can we have the self-assurance of salvation? Now, God in His Word tells us that He will never cast away a believer, never. And in that we can be assured. But at what point do we really believe, and how do we evidence that in our lives? That's the question. At what point in our walk do we really say, "I believe it"? And when do we really begin to evidence that? So today we're gonna talk about self-assurance. We're going to talk about how do I know, how do you know that you're really committed to following Christ. And we will determine it based on two points. And the first point is this: what God has said about Himself, because that's important. And then secondly, what will we say about ourselves as we measure ourselves against God's expectation? First of all, what God has said about Himself. Now, let's go back to 1 John 1 again. So He is told us who Jesus is, and He said, "These things write we unto you," verse 4, "that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." This then is the message. And I want you to pay real close attention. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." First of all, let's look at John's perspective. I've told you that John has recorded what he has recorded for us to show us Jesus as the Messiah of the whole world. So now let's look at some of how John presented Christ so that we might understand what God has said about himself. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, not 1 John. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. It's on page 778 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what John wrote. There was a man sent from John, from God, excuse me, whose name was John. Now, this is not the same John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and here's the message of what God has said about himself and salvation, not just those that he came to, but for all those who would invite him in. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Now God says, what has God said about himself and salvation? He says, I have opened my arms to invite all who will believe on my name, and simply based on your faith and your belief in the name of God, in the person of God, and in the work of God, he says, based on that, I will give all those who believe the power to become the sons of God. Amen. The daughters of God, the children of God. And he says, what's the criteria for faith? He says, the criteria for faith is not about what family you were originally, or what family you were physically born into. But he says it's about what family you were spiritually born into. And that's what the Bible says, which were born. This is why God can pluck out one person out of a terrible situation and save them, and the family can still be lost, because God is not, he does not look at who you were born, what family you were born into, and who you're connected with. And he's not saying, I can only save you if daddy gets saved, and I can only save you if mama gets saved, I can only save you if your sisters and your brothers get saved. He says, but whoever that one is who will believe on my name, God says, I will pluck him out. And he says it's based on not where you were born, but what you were born into. He says, which were born, not of blood. Praise the Lord for that. He says, nor of the will of the flesh, not by anything they could do on their own, nor of the will of man, but of God. He says, and the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to the world. He made the world. Yet his world did not know him, would not receive him. But he says, to as many as would receive him, to them he gave the power of salvation, simply for believing on his name. He did it for us because we accepted that we had to be born again. That we had to be born again, spiritually born again. We had to be changed. He did it all for us out of his good pleasure. It was his desire, the Bible says. It is his good pleasure to give us even the kingdom. Jesus, God, the Word, was made flesh and he dwelt among us, John says, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. John says, I saw enough to know that Jesus is salvation. John says, I saw enough to convince me that Jesus is salvation. But what did God say about himself and salvation? Now turn over to John chapter 5, page 783 in your Pew Bibles. What did God say about himself and salvation? John chapter 5, skip down to verse number 24. John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and this is Christ speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, what does God say about himself and salvation? He says about himself and salvation that we can be assured that if we believe on the name of God, that we can be saved, and it is not a temporary salvation, but we are saved forevermore. Now, he says all of that in verse 24. Look what he says. He says, he that what? Heareth. He that heareth my word and believeth on him. He says, there you go. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. He said, if you will just hear the word of God and you will just believe on the word of God, and then he makes a promise. He says he hath, present tense, based on our belief, based on our faith, based on our immediate sacrifice of self to God. He says, based on that, we immediately have everlasting life. And we shall not, and that's another point of assurance, we shall not come into condemnation.
Amen.
God has given us the victory. That's what he says about himself. Amen. Now, let's go on, because he's not done talking about himself. He says in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, I want you to understand that he just repeated for us the same thing that he said earlier. He says, all right, I need you to understand that the hour now is right. This is the hour. That's why the Bible can say with confidence, today is the day of salvation. He says the hour has now come that those who are dead, and he's talking about spiritually dead people. He says the spiritually dead will just hear the voice of God. He says, all we got to do is hear it. And then based on hearing it, we're going to believe it. And he says, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
What does God say about himself and salvation? He says, you can depend upon the salvation of God. You can depend upon the word of God. God said it. And that settles it. He's done. The dead in our sin, the dead in sins will hear the voice of the Son of God and shall live. Now, is he done? He's not done. Let's keep reading. He says, for as the Father, verse 26, hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And I think it really goes even beyond the living dead being made alive, but those who died in faith, God says, are going to come alive, and those who died in unbelief will come alive as well, and they're going to come alive for an everlasting judgment. Now I want you to see where he says that as well. Look what he says if we keep reading. He says, marvel not at this. Now he says salvation in itself is a miracle, but he says that's not the extent of God's promise. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now God says those who are spiritually dead, those who are alive still, we get to hear the voice of God and we get to make a decision to follow after him. But he says don't marvel at that only, because there is coming a day when even those who are dead and gone are going to hear the voice of God. Those who are in their graves are going to hear the voice of God. But those who are in their graves won't have an opportunity to make a decision, because decision time will have been over. He says, when those who are in the graves hear the voice of God, it's going to be about a time of judgment. He says in verse 29, he says, they're going to come forth. They that have done good, and he's not talking about good works. He's talking about those who have done good to have heard the voice of God, who have accepted the salvation of God, the free gift of salvation. He says, those who have done good, they're going to come forth unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, who have rejected the word of God, the person of God, the Son of God, the salvation of God, he says they're going to come forth unto the resurrection of damnation. That's God's point of view about salvation. He says you can be assured, you can be assured that if I have promised you salvation, and I have, then you will have it forevermore. Again, now, as a point of review, John the Baptist was not that light. That's what the Bible says. He was not that light. We read that. He said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, according to John 1:9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus, God, is that light that lights every man that comes into the world. Every man who will accept that light. Everlasting life through the everlasting light. And God is light. And in Him, the Bible says, is no darkness at all. Now, what does that mean, God is light? What does that mean? I tell you what, I decided to kind of look around my Bible and try to find some descriptions of what it meant that God is light. And I tell you what, I just came up with this long list that got me really excited. That God is light. Who is God? What does this mean? Well, it means that God is, He's the source of wisdom. That's what light is. He's the source of knowledge. That's what light is. God is holiness, and God is happiness, and God is righteousness, and God is purity, God is glory, God is perfection. God is one who has no defect. God is absolute. God is beauty. He is beautiful. He's true. He's just. He's good. He's love. He's relationship. He's blessings. He's light. He's illumination. That's who God is. You think about Him like that. Wow, He is the revealer. That's who God is.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
He is that light that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl has to be held up to. That's who He is. And I got this picture in my mind as I was thinking about who God is. And God is that light. You know, we want clarity on what's on a piece of paper, or when we want to see maybe what's in an envelope that's addressed to somebody else, we hold it up to the light, because the light will bring about some clarity. And that's what God is. God is light. God is that one that we all must be held up to. And that one that everything about us is going to be revealed when the light that is God shines on us, in us, and through us. God is light. And there is no darkness in Him. None. There is no darkness in Him. What does God say about Himself? He says, I am salvation. And if you want it, you can have it. He says, if you want it, you can have it. There is no darkness. What is darkness? Darkness. There's no darkness in God. There's no slip-ups. There's no ignorance. There's no lack of knowledge. There's no worldliness. There's no imperfections. There's no darkness, not in God. And darkness for us, if we are really to believe what God has said about Himself, darkness for us has to be a thing of the past. Y'all hear me? Darkness has to be a thing of the past. I have just been beaten up about the fact that I am toting around God's testimony. And that is just beating me up. It is beating the tar out of me, folks. I'm telling you that it has been the thing that has said to me, your foot doesn't belong there, because you are carrying the testimony of God.
Amen.
There can be no darkness, because there is no darkness in God. Not at all.
Amen.
Not at all. Not at all. We can't make excuses. And we can't say that a little bit of darkness is okay, because the Bible says in God there is no darkness at all. And if we have accepted, if we have become the sons and the daughters of God because we have heard His voice, then there ought to be no darkness in us if we believe what God has said about Himself. All right? Now look in Ephesians 5, and we'll leave this alone. Ephesians 5, page 865 in your pew Bibles. Darkness for us has got to be a thing of the past. Ephesians 5, page 865 in your pew Bibles, beginning at verse number 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1, the Bible says, be therefore followers of God. I guess we could really stop reading right there. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, here's darkness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, let's read this thing like God has written it for us. He says, let it not once be named among you. He's talking about, let there not be any darkness in you at all, in me at all. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, let me tell you what, if anybody convinces you that God is okay with any of these things, he says, he's just telling you, she is just telling you a bald face lie. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, some time ago, used to be. But now are ye light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, he's saying we ought to make them known, but we ought not to be anywhere a part of it. He says we ought to disprove of it. We ought to find it distasteful, disgusting. He says we ought not to participate in that at all. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And here he is again. He says, whatever they're doing, hold it up to the light. Hold it up to the light. He says, what this verse really says, all things that are discovered or uncovered are made known by the light. For it is the light that makes things known. So he says, we ought to hold it up to the light. And if it doesn't pass the light test, then he says, we need to leave it alone. Because we were sometimes in the dark, but not anymore. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There it is again. If you'll just hear the voice of God. If you'll just hear the voice of God and believe, he says, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, what has God said about himself that assures us of salvation? He says he's light. He says he's the creator of salvation. He says he is the revealer of salvation, the deliverer of salvation. He is salvation. Be assured of that. He is light, and in him is no darkness, no doubt, no distortion. He's unchangeable. He's dependable. He's pure. He's holy. His salvation is a blessed assurance. It's a blessed assurance. So now we understand what God has said about himself. John puts it very precise for us. He says, this is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But what will we say about ourselves now that we know that? Let's read verses 6 and 7 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Well, why don't we stop there for now? In other words, he says, who are we? Who are you? Who am I, really? That's what he's saying. What is our character? You know, who are we when nobody's looking? And who are we when the world is looking? And what are we most assured is the question. When we talk about self-assurance of salvation, the question is, in what are we most assured? Who are we when the world is looking? And who are we when nobody's looking? Both of those will establish the character of the believer. God has declared that his salvation can be dependent upon because he has promised it, and that he is not a man that he can lie. But what will we say about ourselves and God's salvation? Do our lives, here's the question, do our lives reflect that we are assured? John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we lie and we do not do the truth. We lie and we do not do the truth. If we say that we have fellowship, if only our words, and this is what I gathered out of this, if only our words say that we are Christ followers, but our ways say that we follow family, we follow friends, we follow people in general, then we really walk in darkness and we lie and we do not do the truth. That's kind of hard to say. But that's the truth. If you follow family and friends and people in general, rather than following after Christ, then you are walking in darkness and we lie and we do not do the truth. We do not do the truth. You know what? We've talked about straddling the fence, and this really said to me, there is no fence in serving Christ. We're either in or we're out. And we have to decide on our own position. Now, Paul gave a warning to the church at Corinth that I think is applicable for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. It's on page 655 in the Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians 6. Beginning at verse number 14, he says, what will we say about ourselves when we think about what God has said about himself? He says, if we have fellowship, John says, if we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we lie. Paul told the church at Corinth that they needed to make a decision. And that decision meant separation. Separation doesn't always feel good. Not initially, but it feels good when we know that we are truly in service to our Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I tell you what, I believe that the context of that is that we ought not to be unequally yoked in anything. Not in relationships. You know, now that I have two that are still looking for spouses, you know, the one thing that I want them to know, first of all, is you need to find somebody who believes what you believe. You can't be unequally yoked in marriage. And you can't say, well, he looks so good, she looks so good. I know one day she's going to get saved, Daddy. And let's don't make that the main thing. Well, let me tell you, you can't do it. The Bible says don't be, because the effort to convert doesn't always end with the result that you want. And the Bible says here, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, what has God said about himself? That he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's with the false god. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You know, he's saying it's like letting a cult have their service in the house of God. He says, what kind of sense would that make? And that's what God is talking about here. And you know, that seems like an extreme example. But what God is telling us is how critical it is that we not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, and here's the counsel, come out from among them. Make a decision, he says, that you will not mingle and commingle with the unbelievers, and be ye separate. And you know, just then I thought about the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness, as God led them there. God told them in preparation for going into the promised land. He says, there are going to be unbelievers in that land. There are going to be people there that you have never seen before. People who are going to look good. People are going to have possessions. He says, but don't you go over there and start giving of your sons to their daughters and of giving of your daughters to their sons. He says, because they're going to destroy what you believe. They're going to take away your relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you something. If we are not careful, then we will lose the assurance of our salvation as well, because we will be walking after those who have no idea who Jesus is. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore, verse number 1 of chapter number 7 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, and I like this, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He says we need to have an aim for our lives, a goal for our lives, that we will believe what God has said about himself, that we will come out from among them, and we will have true fellowship with him, and that we will walk in the light. Let us say we are of the light. Let us live that we are of the light, regardless of where we are and who we are with, and get this, or what we're invited to. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, what does it look like to walk in the light and in assurance of our salvation? I want to show you just a few of those as we ponder John's words that we ought to walk in the light as he is in the light. He says, if we'll do that, then we'll have fellowship one with another. We'll have fellowship one with another. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to walk in the light? Well, flip over to Romans chapter 6, page 833 in your pew Bibles. I believe that to walk in the light as he is in the light means that we are to walk in newness of life, that we are to be the evidence of a change of what has happened, because we have heard the voice of God and we have believed in the voice of God, that he has shined his light into our lives. Romans 6, verse number 1 says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That we need to be separate. We need to come out from among them. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, the Bible says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. How? In newness of life. If we're walking in the light, if we are assured of our salvation, if we've made a declaration that God is our God and that he is King, he says we ought to walk then as in newness of life. We ought to walk in newness of life. Not just in newness of life, but we are to walk by faith. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 854. You know, I believe that believers, we've already experienced one resurrection, and that we have been raised from being dead in our sins to a new life in Christ. And the self-assured believer will most certainly walk in newness of life, but we will also walk by faith. We will walk by faith in anticipation of the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises to us. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse number 1, says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. He says, we just want to get to heaven. We want to be with God, is what the Bible's saying. You know what? We could go right now. Even so, Lord, come quickly. We're ready. He says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we want to be with God. We want to be with Him today. And while we are on this earth, the Bible says, for we walk by faith. And what does it mean? We walk in anticipation of being with the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent. This is the part about self-assurance. This is the part about saying, who are we? What is our character? What are we really hanging our hat upon? He says, we labor, we work, that whether we are with the Lord or whether we are still here on this earth, we may be accepted of Him, that we might have fellowship with Him, that we might walk in the light as He is in the light. We walk in newness. We walk by faith. We walk always. We ought to walk always in the Spirit. Look in Galatians chapter 5, page 862. We ought to walk always. We ought to walk always in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, this I say then. I like it when the Bible declares for us that it's time to take action. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is talking about making a decision. He says, for the flesh lusteth after the Spirit. Newsflash, your flesh will always, always try to lead you into darkness. You hear me? So when you're at home and you're thinking, nobody has these problems but me, you're wrong. Because everybody's flesh is pulling them towards the darkness. He says, it wars. It's a terrible thing. He says, and the Spirit against the flesh. He says, there is a battle. Why? Because these two are contrary, the one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. Hallelujah for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah for the Spirit of God. He said, it is the Spirit of God that constrains us, that protects us from the darkness if we will just give ourselves to the light. We don't have to be strong. That's the thing that people want to say. I just got to be strong. Well, you don't got to be strong. You got to give in. You got to give it up. Give it up to the Spirit. Just say, Lord, I know that I'm weak. I know that there's a battle. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to lead me in the right way. I'm going to give myself over to you. I believe you saved me. I believe what you said. And I'm just going to follow after you. Verse 4 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here's the fleshly stuff. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, we've given it all over to Christ. And if we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, if we are assured of our salvation, if we believe what God has said about Himself, then let us walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But we are to walk in the Spirit. If we are walking in the light, as He is in the light, if we are in fellowship one with another, we are to walk in newness. We are to walk by faith. We are to walk in the Spirit. One last one. We are to walk worthy. We are to walk worthy. Will you look in Ephesians chapter 4. Page 865 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter number 4. We are to walk worthy in self-assurance of our salvation. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. We are to walk worthy, according to Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's talking about relationships. He's talking about an effort that we will be committed. We will be committed to being like Christ. I mean, that's good enough to read again. Let's start over at verse number 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, now we know what the light is now. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Then we are part of this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have fellowship one with another. And then he closes out this verse by saying, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Christ will continually cleanse us. Are you ready for this? Time and time and time again from all sin. The self-assurance of salvation. God says He is the light, and everyone that hears Him and everyone that believes on Him that sent Him hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That simple. The question for every listener today is, do you believe that God's salvation is enough? Is it enough? Then, do you believe it enough to say no to being unequally yoked with unbelievers? That's hard. But do you believe it enough to do it? And finally, are you assured that your life reflects your life choice? Are you assured that your life reflects your life choice? Here's a big question, the final one. To you, who is Jesus? That really sums it all up. And you have to decide for yourself if He's worthy of walking after every day. Yes, He is. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. based on just simply hearing the word and believing it, believing on the one that sent him. I pray, Father, today that you will help us to be men and women of character, that you will let us understand the importance of being not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because when we do, Father, we'd understand that it just weakens the testimony of our Savior. It doesn't change who you are, but it most certainly changes what people who are lost think of who you are. I pray, Father, that we might understand that if we proclaim to be Christ-like, then we need to be Christ-like at all times. I pray, Father, that we would walk in the light as you are in the light, and that we will be careful to make sure that there was no darkness at all in our lives. You called us out. You called us out for a purpose. You've set us aside. And Lord, you are making us right and perfect and righteous so that one day you might present us to yourself, a glorious church. Until that day comes, Father, I pray that you will keep us on the right path. Shine your light in our lives every single day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.